Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
So how is Google preparing for the 2024 South African elections via tech? And we'd like to welcome our guest, Abongile Mashele, Head of Government Affairs and Public Policy at Google SA. Welcome. Great to have you with us.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you so much for having us.
So are you employing like high-tech kind of AI stuff to watch out for the mischief? How are you going to detect mischief that may come through Google that is seeking to waylay us in terms of making the right decisions?
Well, protecting our platforms from misuse or from abuse is something that we actually do on a daily basis. Because harmful content or harmful exchanges are something that happen or occur on a regular basis. But during election periods, we place a greater focus and a concerted effort across the company to make sure that we can safeguard the integrity of the electoral process and to ensure that digital or technological platforms, especially Google's platforms, are not in any way used to abuse or to misinform the public during this very important time. And we do that in various ways. The first way, the one way you can always combat misinformation, and I'm sure when you spoke to TikTok, they shared the same insight, is to make sure that on our platforms we surface reliable and credible information. When members of the public go to search for any information on where to vote, how to vote, They receive reliable sources, such as links to the IEC website. Hmm. So we worked with the IEC, for instance, collaborated with them to develop an organized search results page on Google Search that will enable members of the public to search for any prompt that you may have, like how to vote, where to vote. And when you search for that, on top of the results page, you will get information from the IEC that will take you to the IEC website as opposed to a website that would have been created by anyone else. So it ranks up reliable information. And this is one way we are working to combat misinformation and disinformation. Similar to with our YouTube platform, it would surface reliable news sources because we know a lot of people go to YouTube to access news information. So it will surface reliable news sources. And we are actively working with partners in the news ecosystem as well to make sure that we find ways to combat misinformation from that angle through the Africa Check Coalition, where a lot of newsrooms, and I understand EWN is one of the coalition partners, are actively working together to put in place proper processes for fact-checking, for ensuring that when news publishers also publish information, they publish reliable sources. And we'll also be working with newsrooms to help them, to capacitate them on how best can you improve visibility on YouTube so that when you are, when people search for information, they can also access your site. So just from an information access and visibility side, that's what we do. And then from a policy side, there's a number of efforts that we also embark on. And I'm not sure if you want to get into them now, or we'll get into them as you go along with the conversation.
Yeah, I think what we're trying to get our heads around is the kind of mischief that can come our way. And we've been talking about deep fakes, for example. Could this be a reality? Can deep fakes be detected? What is a deep fake? Maybe you want to just alert us to that as well.
Definitely. I think one of the things that we have been doing as we prepare for elections across the globe is to understand the impact that artificial intelligence can have in the electoral processes. And I think that's why tech companies from a global perspective have been working together to put in place proper procedures and policies and protocols to combat that. But to start with your first question of what is this deepfake? It's basically the use of technology to create synthetic images. So you can create an image or a video of someone using AI technology that is not necessarily Clarence speaking there, but you are using the large language models that we would have, that would be able to mimic the voice of the individual, that would be able to mimic the image of the individual. And if it is used nefariously, it can be used to basically portray something that is not true, particularly about political candidates. And this is something that can have an impact during election periods. So what we have done is basically one of the things that we've done is to actually prohibit the use of deepfakes, particularly when it comes to political advertising on our platforms. So you cannot use synthetic images or videos or content when you put together your advert that will be placed on our platform. We place the onus on the person who is placing the advert to actually disclose that upfront. But if you do not disclose that, we have mechanisms and means for detecting it, and it is removed from our platform. Similarly with YouTube, it is not permitted on YouTube. So if you have a YouTube channel and you use a deepfake to produce a video that you will place on your channel, that is not prohibited, that is not allowed, and it would be detected upfront. But if it is not detected by our classifiers, it would be flagged and it would be reviewed by our trust and safety team and removed from the platform. We also have our own tools, for instance. I'm not sure how familiar you and your listeners are with Gemini, which is our large language model tool. We have placed limitations on Gemini that it cannot produce any, cannot respond to prompts that are related to political candidates or political issues. So if you ask Gemini to create a speech or a video depicting President Cyril Ramaphosa, for instance, saying something, it will tell you that it cannot do that because we have put those limitations in the product to make sure that it does not create political-related content. Mm. And the last thing is also watermarks. If you use Google DeepMind, which is our own AI product as a company, it has an embedded watermark. So even if you create it, it will be detectable by our classifiers and also classifiers from other platforms. So it would be removed before it is in place. So there's a number of things that we're doing on the AI space because we understand the focus that is there. And as we are venturing into this world, we really need to focus on responsible use of artificial intelligence, particularly during elections.
Yeah, absolutely. Half of the world is going to the polls in 2024. Half of the world's population are going to vote in this particular year. And I'm sure you're gathering a lot of data about the kind of mischief that could be thrown at us with the kind of history and data that you have. Just what is there anything that you can maybe advise us on in terms of something that should be getting our attention, a dead giveaway about a possible mischievous intent?
Oh, it depends. Mischievous intent really varies from platform to platform. For instance, on YouTube, mischievous intent would be people who are intentionally posting videos with the intention to mislead or to incite some kind of harm, some kind of alarm or threat to members of the public. One of the things that I would always advise anyone or any individual is just to be cognizant that YouTube is a user-generated platform, so anyone can create a channel, anyone can post whatever they want to post. But there are a few credible news sources that we have in the country. So rather defer to those as opposed to listening to Abongile's page and taking it as a source of truth. And we see quite a few of them also portraying themselves as credible news sites, even on Google search. And this is something that we have worked on clamping down on to make sure that news sites or fake news sites, lack of a better word, that pop up on Google search. We've been working around the clock to make sure that those are removed. So familiarize yourself. So media literacy and digital literacy is very important. And that's where partnerships between digital platforms as well as news companies is important. Familiarize yourself with credible sources. Utilize credible information so that you are better informed. Secondly, understand the platform that you are on. So most platforms have policies that you should be familiar with in terms of what is allowed on the platform and what is not allowed on the platform. Familiarize yourself with those policies and the terms of and conditions.
Yeah.
And if you pick up issues, report them and flag them, because we have trust and safety teams that are working around the clock to review content that possibly would not have been picked up by our AI tools before it hits the platform. So report and flag, and those issues are removed as quickly as possible.
Okay, I've just Google search, for example. I've just put in which political parties are in SA, and then the page opens. Obviously, that first little bit is that your information that you are showing, because it's not accredited to a website or anything like that. Would that be Google's kind of response that we can trust?
Well, On any ordinary search that you have, we have a ranking system that we have as Google. So it wouldn't necessarily be a Google source, but it would be a page that would have ranked up, be it an organic search results page. It would be a website that would have ranked up.
Okay, it doesn't credit a website, so I'm just trying to understand that source, the very first thing that pops up here.
Yeah, no, it's not a Google website. So Google wouldn't have a website.
Right. Okay.
It would be a site that would have been ranked highly on the search, and then you would receive that result. And that would be what is called the organic search results page, and you can click on it to get the information. But on the elections part, that is it's an intervention that we've put as a company to ensure that we have a curated response, particularly on voter information, so that we cannot have websites that are outside of what we get from the IEC ranking on top. And I think that's part of our initiatives and efforts to make sure that we surface credible information. Unfortunately, that's not something we could do for all prompts or searches that are made, because we get millions of different searches on the search engine on a daily basis. And there's a particular ranking system that we utilize for that.
Okay, so on this particular ranking system, I can trust the information that has now popped up right on top. And again, the next one would be Wikipedia, but there isn't necessarily a website that accompanies the information that pops up right on top.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's very important in terms of practically understanding what to look for on it. Is there any way we can identify a credible source from maybe a suspect source?
That's a tricky question. It would depend on what you're talking about. Like, what exactly are you looking for?
Well, you're saying some news websites, for example, are more trustworthy than others. How can you help me to discern between the two? Are you there, Abongile? I'm thinking. I've got a blue tick, for example, on social media, which says it is me basically mouthing off. Is there not that kind of capability you can build into your search results? Yeah,
what we have put in the search results now is a blue tick of sorts for individuals that you would search for, so that at least from especially high-profile individuals such as your public representatives. So there is that blue tick of sorts. From a news perspective, I think there isn't a particular blue tick that you would get, but if you go to Google News Search, for instance, so we have a product that is focused on news. That is where you would find your credible news sources that you can click on or link to access reliable news information as well.
Okay. I think you've put a whole lot of things into perspective, and your time is appreciated. Abungile Mashili, the head of government affairs and public policy at Google SA, just talking to us about the measures they have in place to protect us from mischief that comes our way via the internet.